Hi and welcome to the Pride and Prejudice Minute, where we discuss the 2005 version of Pride and Prejudice minute by minute. Today we are discussing minute 117, which, depending on your version, goes from around 1 hour 56 minutes and 30 seconds to 1 hour 57 minutes and 30 seconds. I'm your host Sandra.
And I'm Susanna. And last minute, we had a beautiful, beautiful moment with the golden sun behind Lizzie and Darcy as Lizzie told Darcy that his hands are cold. And there was in the epitome of romance, just so good, so fantastic. You know, noses touching, foreheads touching, so intimate. Birds in the background, just positive vibes all around. Yes. We have our love confession. But things need to be done. So we saw Lizzie pacing behind the door of her father's study while Darcy was inside. Darcy came out and now it's Lizzie's turn to talk to her father. We can kind of get a gather from context clues that Darcy has talked to Lizzie, to Mr. Bennet, about how he loves his daughter and how he wants to marry her. And we ended the minute with Lizzie looking fondly and a little mischievously at Darcy, knowing that he will need to suffer outside the door, not really knowing what's going on as she closes it so she can talk to her father.
Because he has not mastered the art of listening at doors.
Unlike all of the Bennets.
Exactly. It would have been funny if you would just been like, here at the door.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah. And we end this, or we start this minute with Lizzie actually closing the door. And like, you keep seeing like part of her face until the door closes completely.
That's great. Yeah.
And
then a moment later, we switch views so that we see Lizzie and her father in his study. And this room, I think we've caught glimpses of it, but now we see it in more detail. And it's just as unorganized as you would expect it to be from Mr. Bennet. There's so much going on.
Mr. Bennet just seems like, you know, the type of person that, you know, collects things. And I can see that as a fellow hoarder myself. You know, books are just kind of haphazardly stacked on the shelves.
Oh, yes.
There are all kinds of curiosities around.
Yeah.
There's a plant. All in all, it looks very comfortable. It looks like a very nice study.
Yeah, it's so personal. What I also noticed is that he's sitting behind the desk, and on that desk, it seems to be that there's already a glass of wine in front of him.
Start the day right.
It fits with the entire situation, because just the day before, Jane got engaged to Mr. Bingley, and then in the night came Miss Lady Catherine de Bourgh, and then this morning Mr. Darcy is on his doorstep. So that does ask for a glass of wine.
There is so much happening there. I don't blame him. And obviously, if Mr. Darcy's there, you know, that is a gentleman of a certain standing, you offer him something to drink.
Probably on an empty stomach, so not a good idea, but sure.
There is only one glass. There's only one glass and like a carafe.
Yeah. And it's full, so.
Yes. But Mr. Bennet is sitting behind his desk looking up at Lizzie, who is actually looking a little timid in front of her father. Like, she has her hands in front of her. Her head is slightly bowed. She's still wearing her coat from going outside.
Yeah, they just walked in as they were, and people were probably just waking up and being like, Lizzie, why are you out already? And why did you bring back Mr. Darcy? What happened?
Yeah.
That must have been so weird.
I mean, that's pretty much what he's saying. He really starts off with, Lizzie, are you out of your senses? I thought you hated the man.
Yeah, and he even laughs a little to himself. It's just like, what kind of situation is this?
Yeah, this is so bizarre because this was something that never crossed their mind. Last thing they knew is that Lizzie hated his guts.
And especially because, and all on the basis of that, they got off on the wrong foot. It's all coming back to that shared time that they had together when he was in the neighborhood, basically, during those two balls. And
I think this is catching Mr. Bennet and later also the rest of the family just as off guard as the first proposal did to Lizzie. Because, of course, all happened away from Longbourn. So they kind of missed that whole thing. So they have the kind of same reaction, like, what is going on here?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You hate him and now he's asking for your hand in marriage.
What happened? What did we miss?
What incarnation?
Lizzie is... she just answers him very quietly. She just says, no, Papa. And she is timid.
Yeah.
In this moment. Yeah.
It is. She's...
Yeah.
I think she's kind of realizing what kind of shocked it must be. And then...
Exactly.
She's like,
it's good to her. It's very clear. And she has tried in the past to try to explain things to Jane, but never came to it. And now she has gotten to the point where she does have to explain. And it's kind of scary to her. Like she has to, it's not like she lied to them, but there was information. Things have happened that they haven't, that she hasn't told them.
Yeah, exactly. Mm. And Mr. Bennet is trying to kind of explain it away. He's
making a list.
Yeah, because he starts out with, like, he's rich, to be sure.
Mm.
And you will have more fine carriages than Jane. But will that make you happy?
Yeah.
And that is, honestly, he's probably thinking, okay, is Lizzie doing this to help out for the family? Money.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah. And like, sure, I guess, but he also knows his daughter. I mean, it's not a very big secret that Lizzie is kind of his favorite daughter.
Yeah.
And, you know, he knows her character and he definitely knows that she wants a romantic marriage and not just a marriage made out of convenience.
Yeah. But, you know, even then, with the whole Lydia situation, I think that was a shock to the entire family. And maybe he feels like, you know, and then Jane, that he doesn't quite have a grasp on what is happening and how the things are going.
Yeah.
So, you know what? Maybe Lizzie is willing to kind of marry for her position. And
yeah.
I don't think he does. He's convinced of it, but I do think he's considering it. Like, was I this wrong?
Yeah. Yeah. And we kind of switch angles so that we see Lizzie from where Mr. Bennet is sitting, and she asks her father, "Have you no other objections than you believe in my indifference?"
Yeah.
And it's just very straightforward. It's basically, okay, so if that's your only objection, because I can definitely prove that that's not true.
I mean, she lets him talk and then she says, okay, do you think that I'm, you know, that I don't care? Is that the only reason why you're hesitant? Then
is there anything else?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, and of course, when we see Mr. Bennet again, he says, well, none at all. And he does add, we all know him to be a proud and pleasant sort of fellow, yeah. But this would be nothing if you really liked him.
Yeah. And I like while he's doing that, he's kind of, you know, he has his hands on top of each other and he's kind of moving his fingers around in like a not quite a nervous tick, but there is an uncomfortable...
No, speaking with his hands, yeah, I guess.
Kind of an uncomfortableness, like, I'm not quite sure of this situation. I'm a little uncomfortable. But of course, I would be happy if you were happy.
That's the thing. That's his main point, is that he does want Lizzie and all his daughters to genuinely be happy. And yeah, that's basically what he's asking. Like, do you really want this? Are you really sure that this man could make you happy? Because we haven't seen that so far.
No, we've only seen the unpleasant side of him.
Yeah.
Where he's proud and kind of mean and says rude things.
Yeah.
Which he definitely did, by the way, but...
But Lizzie, she very promptly replies with, I do like him.
Yeah.
And Mr. Bennett nods and he says, well...
Well.
And when we see Lizzie again, it's just...
She's emotional.
She takes a few seconds of mustering up courage and then she says, I love him.
Yeah, and her eyes are watering. Like, she looks like she's almost about to cry.
Yeah.
As she kind of admits, like, I love him.
Yeah, and it's not just... I like it so much that it's first... I do like him, and then I love him.
Yeah.
It's, you know what, she's like, yeah, no, I do really like this man, but then it's more genuine when she says, I love him. It's such a confession, and yet, especially because she takes a few seconds to say it out loud, it's...
And then she continues even more with, you know, he is not proud. I was wrong. Yeah. I was entirely wrong about him.
Yeah.
You don't know him, Papa.
And she says it with a little smile on her face. And then we switch to see her father again, who looks just kind of in disbelief. Like,
yeah, baffled. Like, goodness.
Yeah.
But he also has like watery eyes. Like, he's getting emotional her emotional response. Like, like, he can't quite believe that it runs so deep with her.
And he never saw any of that, and she hid all of that for so long. Yeah. And yeah, it's really a surprise to him.
It is. And then she continues, and there's like a bit of, you know, a happy pride in her voice as she says, if I told you what he was really like, what he has done.
Yeah, and when we see Mr. Bennett again, you can immediately see the gears turning in his head. Like, and he does also ask, what has he done?
Yeah.
And that's the tone changes. Like, wait, what
am I missing here?
There is some critical information that I guess I can already guess at, but I really need to hear this confirmed. And it's quite serious all of a sudden, I guess.
I mean, it is quite serious because in the end, it means that kind of the entire family is indebted to Mr. Darcy in a way. And obviously, we already know that Mr. Darcy is too good of a person to really do something about that. But that is not the experience that they've had so far with him.
Exactly.
So it's kind of difficult.
They don't know Darcy at all, actually.
No.
It's what she, like she just said.
You don't know him.
Before. Yeah, you don't know him. And then, the same way that she didn't know him at all when she thought she didn't like him.
Yeah.
Because he's so different from the stoic person that you see at parties.
Yeah, exactly. Because that is a moment where Darcy is intensely uncomfortable. He isn't a very social person. So going to a party, he is awkward. He sticks around to his friends. Exactly. But because he has been raised a certain way, he just comes across as aloof instead of anxious.
Exactly. Yeah. Oh, But that's already where we end this minute. It's another short one. Yeah, we'll have some more of this discussion in the next minute, for which you will have to wait.
Yeah.
But you can also always find us on Instagram under the name PMP Minute, which you can also find in the show notes. And I've been Sandra.
And I've been Susanna. See you next time.
See you next time.
Bye. Bye.